clearislaw.com. It's time to end the confusion and create for yourself a clear path that leads to true enlightenment of the heart, mind, body, and soul. Clearislaw.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The four enemies sounds like a kung fu movie. An enemy is an opponent, an adversary, a foe, a rival. You need to meet him. In the ring, they're meeting and boxing with boxing gloves. You need to know who your enemy is. So one needs to understand the enemy in order to fight the enemy. You cannot fight somebody that you don't understand him. That's why they go and see the other football team, who's the striker, who's the defense, what are the weaknesses in the goalkeeper. And they need to know who the opponent is before they go into the ring with them. Now, understanding needs study. You need to study the opponent. That's why they sit there with boxing managers studying the other guy back and forth. How does he punch? What's his weakness? Uppercut, lower cut, whatever cut there is. Cut usually above the eye. But what a horrible sport. I did also box in my youth. It's terrible. So you have to find out who your enemy is. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَا فِيهِ. That the shaytan made them slip. The shaytan made them slip. فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا, and made them get out for where they were there, meaning the place, meaning Jannah. So the shaytan is the one who made them slip, because the whispers of shaytan is the thing that's going to make us slip. Now, he will make you slip from the path by putting all kinds of obstacles in front of you. He will make you slide from obedience. Because obedience takes consciousness. You need to do it by habit. He will make you slide from obedience. He will make you skid from the truth. Because when somebody tells you, five daily salah, Ibn Umar said, what did he say? Bunya al-Islam ala khamsin. Shahadati an la ilaha illallah. Wa anna Muhammad wa Rasulullah. Wa iqam al-salati wa ita'i al-zakati. Wal hajj al-bayti wa sawmi Ramadan. And this is a sahih hadith, both in Muslim and in Bukhari. So bunya al-Islam ala khamsin. That there's five pillars that you need to look at. Now, the shaitan is going to turn you away from that. So when somebody says, brother or sister, you need to pray, that you need to do this, don't take it in a bad way. And the brothers and sisters who are stating it, you also need to give the nasiha in a proper fashion. Ad-deenu nasiha. That the religion is sincere counsel, sincere advice. With sincerity you give your brother and sister. If they don't take it, that means, and you get angry, that means your nasiha was not sincere to begin with. So you need to give that sincerely. Don't give it, oh you fasik, why don't you pray? Look at her. Her hijab is all twisted. She doesn't pray. And you don't get up for a fajr because nobody sees you. So you get up and comb yourself and get all ready and act like the most pious super Muslim when you get to the masjid. Brother, I've been praying all night long. So Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, alayhi rahmatullah, he said, the shaytan, if he can't come through the doors of tawheed, if he can't come through the doors of saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, he will come through the doors after that. He will make you slip from that. He will go to salah. And then from there, he will make the unimportant, or for things that are mubah, things that are jais, things that are permissible, he will make them more important than the fara'id. And this is how the shaitan deals with it. So when we're dealing with the petty issues around us, shaitan is laughing because we're not dealing with the major issues that are plaguing our society and our youth. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha an-nasu, kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba, wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan, innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. That all people, all mankind, this is not just a exhortation to the believers, but all mankind, that eat of the good things, halal and tayyib. Now we have halal, and it's not tayyib anymore, because there's so many injections and hormones, and the cow is eating pig, and the pig is eating cow. We don't, alhamdulillah, we don't eat pig, do we? No, we don't eat. There's a Muslim gathering. So, This is what's happening. Halalun tayyibah. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And don't follow the footsteps of shaytan. Don't follow the footsteps of shaytan. Now, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily he is an open enemy to you. So Allah is telling you that the shaytan is an open enemy. So what happens to us? An open enemy. He is known. Sometimes he chokes on pretzels. Good one, huh? My wife liked that one too. Original. Well, I didn't copy it from anywhere. But why did I say pretzels? It just came to my mind. So the big Iblis, he chokes on pretzels. His ways are known, but we lack the willpower. That's the problem. We lack the willpower. Two ways to identify brothers and sisters. Two ways. One is the way of Ar-Rahman, the infinitely good. The second way is the way of Ash-Shaytan, the one who is cursed. He's Rajim. He's away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's two ways. When you go to the movie theater, you don't say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, can I have a ticket to whatever it is, kill the spider, kill five people, I don't know what. 27,000 nuclear bombs and one is missing. This is what I saw. I was walking to the market and this was 27, I don't know how, what was that movie? Do you know about that? You don't get it in Britain, do you? Pity. Anyway, so you have two ways. One way is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman. He is the infinitely good. And you need to go that way. So whenever you're doing something wrong, before you want to steal or something, you don't say, oh, should I, can I, can I? You can tell very, very easily what's wrong and what's right. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stated, he said, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنٌ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنٌ وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ فَمَنِ اتَّقَى الشُّبَهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ وَمَنْ وَقَى فِي الشُّبَهَاتِ وَقَى فِي الْحَرَامِ كَالرَّعِي يَرَى حَوْلَ الْهِمَا. إلى الآخر حديث. And this hadith is magnificent. Even the ending part is also magnificent, but it doesn't really, it pertains to our topic, but we won't deal with it. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the haram is bayin, that is clear, that the unlawful is clear and the lawful is clear, but between them there are umur, there are issues that are unclear and many people don't know about it. So if you safeguard yourself from them, you will safeguard your deen and your dignity, your honor. But if you don't safeguard yourself from them, you are going to fall in it. You are going to fall in it. يُوشِكُ أَنْ يَرْتَعَ فِيهِ. As though he's about to fall. Not just falling, as though he's about to fall. Because this is what shubahat does to you, does to the character. To go there and corrupt it from inside, because you keep on doing it until you don't figure out what's halal and what's clear and what's not clear. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السَّلْمِ كَافَّةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. That all you who believe, now the address is to the believers, the brothers and the sisters. All you who believe, enter into Islam perfectly, fully, with submission. And don't follow the footsteps of shaytan. For verily he is an open enemy to you. So don't follow his footsteps. So now we have two things. One is عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. And one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning talking about that you are going to enter into Islam, meaning peacefully, perfectly. So Islam by its very nature is all embracing. Its teachings are embracing. It's complete in its codification. If you look at all the fuqaha and the Imam Malik, who by the way, he didn't turn Imam Malik just by having wahi. He used to sit around a tree until the sun used to try to catch him, and he kept moving on until he would finish his dars that way. This is how Imam Malik became Imam Malik. And he used to put on perfume, and he used to ask them, what are you coming here to ask? They said, we are coming here to ask about hadith. Then if you hadith, then he used to put on his imamah, perfume himself, and sit down and give the hadith. If they're asking for fatwa, he would come out in another coat. But in any respect, he didn't become like that. It was complete codification of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Shafi'i, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmad, Imam Awza'i, Imam Laiq. These were people who understood the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they understood that it's complete in its message. Now it's thorough, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is thorough in the condition that it sees a human being in. Now when we see our Palestinian brothers and sisters being shot down for no other reason that they say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, we feel upset. We feel upset that somebody's killing my babies, because these are my babies. Somebody's killing my brother. Somebody's shooting my sister. Somebody's taking the hijab off of my sister's head, kicking her in the stomach. Why? I don't hate anybody. I just love my people so much that they think that we are hating them. And we don't hate anybody, because this is not the deal in Islam to hate anybody. So it's thorough in its human condition. It's wide into taking human development. When Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was told to go and preach to Syria, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, tell them, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ. And if they accept that, then tell them about salah. In gradation, what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching is in gradation. That everything happens in gradation. So if you see a brother and sister who is not well off and they're coming to the masjid, don't shoo them off. It's okay that they come with their chains and their baggy pants and whatever style they're coming, at least they're coming to the masjid. At least they're coming to the masjid. So don't take that chance to make that deen repugnant to them. Give them that chance and come in. I had one young brother, he came in with a tahfidh program with a very big chain with A on it. His name was Abdullah. And the brother said, oh brother, who can you ask? Oh, astaghfirullah. Look at him, the way he's coming in. I had to get the brothers aside and give them a scolding. I said, brothers, leave him alone. He's coming to tahfidh program. He doesn't know how to read, at least he's coming. But you know, after 2-3 weeks, I just took him aside and said, brother, you know, that thing, you know, it doesn't really suit the atmosphere. If you like, you can put it under your shirt. Or, you know, if you... And he himself did it. But I told him in a very nice fashion that it would not... And he was wearing silver. So inshallah, he will grow by that way. But if you come out saying, oh brother, that man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum, whoever resembles a qawm, he is from them, and you are going to Jahannam. Well, what's he going to do? Come back next day? Say, yeah, brother, can I get some more teachings? So we have to understand that Islam is extensive in its moral aspects. It's an umbrella for human dignity. Human dignity. We would not do anything like that to any non-Muslims. What they're doing to us in Chechnya, in Kashmir. They're having renal failure. They're having iron rod shoved up their rectum until they have renal failure. They leave them by the roadside to die. Another tactic of inflicting injustice on humanity. And we are just sitting by thinking, oh, the youth, how, what we should do. Today we're not going to leave. That's what Sirat Waz does. Anyway, so where was that? Not going to leave what? Just checking if you guys are up. So you're not going to leave this hall today, inshallah, without changing. You have to change. How many people, inshallah, are going to change today? Raise your hand. Oh, I see hand. Don't raise it if you don't really mean it. Don't raise it. Brother, don't raise it if you don't mean it. Imam Sahib? Sisters, you better be careful. Put on that hijab. Makes you look good. You get a good man with that. With a nice little beard like this. So it's sweeping. Then it stands against injustice and it blankets everything in mercy. Look at the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he went and he saw the bird hovering over and the chicks were being disturbed by the companions. And he said, don't do that. Who disturbed the bird? Put the eggs back down. Put it back down. Because it's disturbing it. And he told them, don't cook on an anthill. Don't cook on that. Because there's ants living there. And this person they call a warmonger and killer and all this. This is nonsense. Killers are who drop 7,000 pound bombs on the heads of people and say, oh, this is infinite justice. Ridiculous. So Islam also comes from a root word, sin. Okay, it means peace. And also comes from a word called salama. To be safe, to be intact. And to be free and to preserve. So if you want to be saved, you have to come to the deen fully. And if you want to be intact with your morality, you have to come to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will be free to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather than worshipping stones and with your desire. Nothing happens except by His command. And another word you get from there is salim, sound, healthy, sincere. Abdinu Masiha, this is very important. Sincere, that you have sincerity. Sincerity comes from three words. Khalasa. Three words means unadulterated, pure, unmixed, non-hypocritical. And we have to be non-hypocritical with our brothers and sisters who have come here today, inshallah. I'm here till whatever time you want. If you want to have a small session, we can have small session. If you want to talk, if you want to get something out, you want to come back to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are here for you. But today I don't want to see one single soul going out and doing the same thing that they were doing, ruining their deen, ruining their hearts. We have to be a people who come to the deen and invite the people. Now one of the brothers, he came to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we have over 150 in a very short time. His name is Ilyas. Actually his name is Alex. So he came and he met a lot of Arabs, right? So he met a lot of Arabs and he started talking with them, and then one day he has a shining company. He shines cars. So he started talking with them. And then I came to the center and I was just standing. I said, and this is an African American brother, grew up in the same hood as I grew up in. And he's going, "You bring car, I shine, go bling bling." I said, "Brother, you came to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepting that Allah is one and His Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is last. But don't lose your English. You bring car, I wash, you bling bling, good for drive, okay." I said, "Yeah, he stop it. So inshallah when you come to the deen, don't lose your English. But come and give the people the deen that they can come back inshallah and be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Now in the same verse, shaitan is called adu. Adu means to engage in aggressiveness. That the shaitan is aggressive towards you. He maligns you with things. He gives you waswas. He gives you things that whisper in your ears. He's hostile in his action. And he's unjust. And he's had this relentless attack. He's assailing you, assaulting you, attacking you. He's raiding you at every corner. You go from the house to the masjid, you're being raided by billboards. You go from the masjid to the house, into the house, you have the TV. "I'm going to deal with the TV. I need extra time, brother. Don't move me from here." So he's going to do that. He's going to handicap you. This brother is not, Brother Shamim is not handicapped. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him a very big test. And if he can come to this conference, and if he can sit down and listen, we should always visit this brother. There should be a crew that should visit the people around you. What do you say? Kevil had akhi? What does that mean? Had means the state. You don't say, "Hello." You say, "Kevil had akhi." I've gone into houses, open the fridge, there's nothing there. There's an onion, there's some butter. And then you say, "Kevil had," and then we meet in the masjid and smile. You don't know the plight of your brothers and sisters. Some sisters call, "Oh, he's beating me. We have to get there." Some brothers on crack cocaine. Some brothers on marijuana. Some brothers on alcohol. And things like this are happening, yet we sit back, and this is shaitan attacking us, because we want to be lazy, and we don't want to do anything. This brother can come drag himself in that state, but inshallah, I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him khair in this dunya, and the highest of Jannah. Ameen. Wallah, everyone should make dua for him, to make it easy for him inshallah. This is rahmah, and rahmah comes from the word rahima, to be most merciful, to be kind. And we should be kind to our brothers and sisters. And this is the essence of the deen. So the shaitan will prevent you because he's adu. One of the meaning is that he prevents you. He prevents you to coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you have to get up at the tahajjud, what happens to you? Become lazy. Imam al-Shafi'i, everybody wants to be great. Imam al-Shafi'i radiallahu anhu, he said, "You will not achieve greatness if you don't wake up for Qiyam al-Layl. You will not achieve greatness." Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullah alayh, he said that I do not gain my strength unless after Fajr I sit till Duha, till the sun rises, and I pray two rak'ah. I said, and make tadabbur. فَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. Don't you reflect on the Qur'an, that I make tadabbur, that I understand the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also another word from adu, you come, you get adwa with the term arbuta, means slope. What do you do down the slope? You fall down the slope. You don't go up the slope, do you? You fall down the slope. And another one is adwa. Uriyah, infection. And this is what the shaitan gives you, infection. And this is what he'll give you. He'll infect you. And he will not let you get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he says, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاهُ فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. That really the shaitan suggests to his awliya, to his friends, his companions, people who choke on pretzels, that he suggests that you should do harm, that you should take you away. Fala, don't be afraid of that, but fear me, be conscious of me, have taqwa of me. Ahsin kama ahsan Allahu ilayk, do good as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done good to you. Now, in kuntum mu'mineen, if you are verily believers. In another verse, it was asbab al-nuzul, the reason for revelation was that a hypocrite wanted to go to a soothsayer rather than the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But nonetheless, the ayah fits our situation here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُضِلَّهُمْ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. That the shaitan desires to take you away. In dalala ba'ida, far away, take you right off. When you slip, he wants to take you right off the road. He wants to take you out. So when the shaitan wants to take you away, he will give you alcohol. And alcohol in America, they keep saying, I have red wine, that's good for the heart. No. I have white wine, that's good for the heart. It's not good. Anything is good for the heart. And they're saying that the worst thing, shaitan wants you to take you away, giving you alcohol. The American doctors, all of them, they have this journal. It came out that they said that alcohol is the worst thing for us. It's even worse than heroin, crack cocaine, because it's in every daily life. Cirrhosis of the liver, the medical bills are way out, and people are dying of alcohol. And they keep having stores for that, because they want to get them drunk, so they don't have critical faculties to understand what they're doing and why they're doing it. So he will make you do that. He desires to ambush you with cigarettes. Why are Muslims smoking cigarettes? Oh, this is on the ban list. Pepsi is on the ban list. Coke is on the ban list. Kit Kat is on the ban list. Akhi put the cigarettes on the ban list. So when you smoke, what happens is that the study says that when it goes into your lungs, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, the smoke goes straight to your brain within 7 seconds. It's a drug. It's a drug. By the majority of the ulama, they have said that this is haram. And even the minority who have taken great pains, they said this is something makruh. It means detestable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So stop smoking, and this is how he ambushes you with. That's why they're going to Ghana and all these areas and having Philip Morris or Demoyer, Export A, whatever cigarettes there is. They're having soccer tournaments and they pass out free cigarettes until the brothers and sisters get caught on cigarettes, and then they ruin a whole society like that. With hardening of the arteries. So stop smoking. Next time you say, it's not from what? Two things I told you. Always remember, either it's from Shaitan or Ar-Rahman. So when you put that cigarette on your mouth, you can't say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If you can't do that, don't do it. Stop it. Don't do it. And Shaitan, what he desires, he wishes to trap you with dope. And many youth are getting into dope. They're getting into dope. Everyone smoking hashish. They keep trying it. Don't try it. Why? If you're not in it, don't try it. Because the company that you're keeping makes you want to try it. Peer pressure. Because the pressure of the friends that's around you makes you want to try that. When you get across good brothers, and the good brothers and sisters should be very welcoming. We have dry people in our masajid. Frowns and I'm coming to pray. Why not? Why are the imams so grouchy when they say straighten your line? What's that? They should be happy, encouraging people come, and the imam should go out and shake hands with people and love them and kiss them and meet with people. This is the job of the imam to do that. And sometimes you and I need to get also fervent about something. You don't want a watery imam, everything is okay. You want sometimes, oh, he's doing that, okay, I'll catch him. That's what you need to do. And now, the shaitan first to block you from your spiritual ascent. From your spiritual ascent. And you know how he does that? You know how he does that? With the TV. With the TV. Now, the TV, it teaches you how to be dishonest, corrupt, false, untrustworthy. And we keep putting it on. Brother, but we're getting discovery. And you know what? Your sons are not watching Discovery at 1 o'clock in the morning, believe me. They're not watching that. They're not watching Discovery. You know, the brothers from Bangladesh or Pakistan or Afghanistan or Kuwait or wherever, he comes from a relatively conservative background, and then he thinks his son can do no wrong. My son is an angel. But he's going downtown drinking. You can't be doing that. So when you catch your son at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning flicking the channel, believe me, he is not watching Discovery. Remember that. So what it makes you is make you dishonest. It makes you a liar. It makes you a person who fibs, who invents, who makes you into a thief, makes you into a gambler, and it glamorizes all these attributes. It tells you how easy it is to go places by doing cheating, by becoming a cheat, a fib, a rake, somebody who's a scoundrel. How to cheat on your spouse. They're sitting there and watching soap operas. I asked my sister, I said, what do you watch? Days of Our Lives. I can't get enough of it. The program keeps continuing. Of course it keeps continuing, because we have dummies like this watching Days of Our Lives. And it teaches how to cheat on your spouse. So when the brother comes in with his nice beard and his imamah, and he walks in, and then he says, oh, what, Fatima? I'm just using a general name. Fatima, how are you? Can I have some dinner? Dinner? Dinner. And she brings the knife. Dinner? He asked me for dinner, and her eyes are sparkling. And this is what it teaches you. It teaches you how to cheat on your spouse. Oh, I'll meet John. I'll meet Henry. And if you watch that too long, you will become like that. Because whatever you're in, you start imitating that. And it makes you disrespect your parents, because all those programs that are now making you disrespect makes you be a gruff, makes you uncouth, and makes you be a... It glamorizes how to fornicate, to be the best zani. It teaches you how to be a crook with money, and that is the epitome of being cool, that you're watching that. And we keep saying, we care for our brothers and sisters in Palestine, so please can you give me that satellite dish that all the prophets go to, that place that they kill my brothers and sisters? Oh, please give me that. And give me 502 channels, and inshallah, I will be the best mu'min or mu'mina. MashaAllah, I can pray. You can't. Because it's affecting your heart. It's affecting you. You can't be watching 500 channels and expecting that you're going to be a movement. Because what's coming into the heart, from the eyes, from the hands, from the limbs, and you're watching that, is affecting you. It's indoctrination. It's instilled. The communists did it openly. They said Stalin is a great man. But this is in stealth. They do it in stealth, and they put it very nicely, and they entice the young brothers and sisters, and the parents are not allowing them to get married. You're talking about shaitan? We have shaitan-e-ins and shaitan-e-jinn. And shaitan-e-ins is sometimes even more dubious, because the parents don't allow the youngsters to get married at a young age. They can support them for university. Oh, $20,000? MashaAllah. Because they wish for them dunya. If this person was to put his hand on a stone for half a second, they would try to move him away from that. Don't do that, son. But he's in denial in dunya, and they don't care. He wants to get married. He's a pious brother. She's a pious sister. And they don't want to get married. Why? They need to get married. And I think the parents need to take that institution that you need to get married early. And that you need to have kids, that you need to enjoy a family life. What is this? I'm going to wait till be 28 and then I'm going to go to Karachi to get my wife. What is that? You have your girlfriend here, then you get a nice sister from there? I have a shotgun, somebody comes from my daughter. You are? How much of the hadith do you know? What's your understanding? Knowing hadith is not enough, because that's just knowledge. But you need to put it in wisdom. You don't prepare hadith all the time. Brothers and sisters, we were playing soccer one day. I hate playing soccer, but I just play with the youth. And the guy, he passed and he had a beard, and he said, oh, jazakallahu khairan. Oh, wa yakum. I said, yaki, stop it. We're playing soccer. Leave the piety for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night. So this is what the TV does. It does that. It teaches Muslims are evil, vile, despicable, base. It teaches that the Arab will come and blow you up. It will trap the bomb. A picture paints a million words, not a thousand words, and indoctrinates them. That's why the environment is hostile. You get these looks. I go down the plane to use the bathroom, they go like this. And one lady openly said, it was an older lady, I was helping her with the bag. She said, son, I was afraid of you in the beginning. I said, why? I don't know. I said, you're watching too much CNN. She said, maybe you're right. Now, drinking is macho. That's what I teach you. Have one. Or whatever the commercial is. Breaking the law is fine. Muslim, by the very nature, should not break laws. We have signed a covenant when you come into these countries, you should not break their laws. Don't say, brother, I heard one brother, this is a kufar street, I don't need to know it. Okay, how are you going to get to the place? I don't need to follow these signs. You're going to get into an accident. Follow the rules. And it teaches you fun, good time. Glamorizes greed, that everybody's gluttony. It teaches you how to dress. That's why one sister, they weren't wearing hijab, and when they had that funny scarf, did you have that in Britain? That funny little scarf that goes here for the sisters? Okay, enough of TV. So, be the people who stop watching TV, throw it out, kick it. We've done that. So inshallah, shaitan is our enemy, we know him inshallah. Next thing is dunya. Dunya comes from word dana, to be low, to be mean, to be vile, to be despicable, to be base. This is something lowly. This is one of the meanings. It also comes from a word dani, that it is inferior, second rate, poor of quality. Okay? Another meaning of dunya is, and the scholars have purported on that, and I'm just running through this now. Adna, that it's lower, it's more inferior. And another word means dana. Dana means to purport. Yawuddin. And dana also means that you're indebted, that you owe, that there is a debt to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you need to give. So this debt that we have, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen us to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, this is the biggest thing that we have, and we should have love for the people. We should bring our brothers and sisters. Why are we treating the sisters like garbage? One of them, I was in the western part of Canada, and then the sister was upset. She said, I just walked into the masjid and I was lambasted by a brother. Brothers and sisters, dogs used to walk into the masjid of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When a Bedouin urinated there, and he just says, just throw water over it. Don't go crazy, don't go ballistic. They call it in North America, don't go postal. So when somebody comes in, when the sisters come in, and if they've gone through the wrong door, okay, there's no problem. It's no problem. She's not a dog. And the funny thing is, the brothers, when they get to the bank, I hate to pick on the Arabs all the time, pick on the Pakistanis now. He gets to the bank, he says, brother, I am going to the bank, right? I want to go to the bank because I feel like going to the bank. So when he goes to the bank, he meets Mary and he says, how are you? How are your kids? I am fine, thank you. I have lots of money in my bank, but I don't give any to the masjid. And he's striking a conversation with Mary. When a sister asks him, Astaghfirullah, Jahannam be the place of anyone who I hear the woman's voice. What a ridiculous statement. We need to actually get back to the deen and understand that we don't need to be like this with our sisters. Because the sisters change much faster than the brothers. Have you noticed? They change much faster than the brothers. Now, the insanity of leaving this life, of leaving the hereafter for this life is ridiculous. It's crazy to leave permanence for frailty and impermanence. It's maddening. No one would be in their right mind to leave the hereafter. But the problem is yaqeen. Problem is certitude in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we need to have this yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has the hereafter. Everything states the hereafter. Your very fingertips state, you saw me a banana, that you will gather you with your very fingertips. And now they say fingerprinting is the most accurate, is even more accurate than DNA. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a deen. We don't need to go and look at who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Ar-Rahman, Allah al-Qur'an, the infinitely good, He has taught the Qur'an. He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we need to go to inshallah. So only an unsound mind will take the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nasu, inna wa'adallahi haq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nasu, inna wa'adallahi haq. that verily, O mankind, that the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haq, is truth. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمْ حَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغُرُورِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, that don't let dunya deceive you, and don't let the chief deceiver shaitan deceive you, because dunya is going. كنت الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر السبيل. This was from our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Be in this dunya that you are a stranger or a wayfarer. Take off the dunya what you have. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. This is one of the most frequent du'as that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes. May take off the dunya, but it's ridiculous to think that you're going to make a platform on iceberg and think it's never going to melt. So take that and look. Ghurur comes from the word gharra, ghurur, to mislead you in getting degrees. Degrees is the only thing. We need to get a degree, as though we're Masonites. A degree, please. Put it here, put it there. I need my degree. Father's spending thousands of dollars. No problem getting your degree. It's no problem studying. I was in this kufr education system, taught high school for 7 years, close to. What a horrific experience. Alhamdulillah. But go and get your degree. Because then the parents will be angry. Brother Zia, what are you saying? You're going to get a degree? He needs to get a degree to validate himself. You don't need a degree to validate yourself. You need La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And if the degree comes, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, it comes. So don't let the degree mislead you. Don't let it make ghurur. Don't let it beguile you that you need to have a BMW that's sparking all the time. Don't let it deceive you that your house needs to be the biggest house. Don't let it entice you, the women on TV and the men, naked men and women, and you keep watching that. Don't be dazzled by electronic stuff. Everyone is carrying a cell phone, important people. Some people need it, I know some people need it, but not everyone needs it. Digital pagers and this pager, and you're just coming as though you're, you know, now they will think that you're strapping a bomb on yourselves. So you don't need to be. Now what the shaitan also does, ghurur also does, is delude you to permanence. It makes you think that you're permanent here. It exposes you to danger because you lose your identity. And it jeopardizes you for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look in the adhan itself. The adhan itself. When the adhan goes, Hayya ala salah, he said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qala hadha min qalbihi, dakhala al-jannah. Man qala hadha min qalbihi, dakhala al-jannah. That who said this from their heart will enter paradise. Just understanding the adhan. Now the adhan is going. Now the adhan is going. And what happens is that we are not listening to the call of prayer. And we don't say it from our heart, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, that there's no power, no strength except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to do that. So we don't need to be in a state of ghurur, in a state of blindness, to jeopardize our love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ghur also means the end of a sword. And you see, if you don't watch a sword, in Kung Fu, they bring the sword, and if you're not far away, it will cut you. And you will be fatally wounded. They usually say, the masters usually say that if somebody has a sword and knows how to use it, you better run. Unless you know how to defend against it. So this is what it does. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, he said, one who oft remembers death will have little or nothing to rejoice about. And he will have less envy and jealousy towards others. Less envy and less jealousy towards others. Because you will have nothing much to gloat about. Look at these people. Ammar ibn Yasir. His ear was cut. He was in Kufa. They said, look at the one with the twisted ear. And he said, you just insulted the best part of my ear. Allah said, in fi sabilillah. Nowadays, the government will throw you in jail, confiscate your passport. Brother Siraj, miskin Allah. But I want to confiscate him. So we need to actually come to that. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma al-dunya fil akhirati illa mithlu ma yad'u ahadukum usbu'ahu fil yad." فَلْيَنْظُرْ بِمَا يَرْجِعْ. That the dunya in relation to the akhirah is as though you put a finger in the ocean. And then see what comes from that. So we spend, we waste our hours, hours upon hours on this return on that finger. We waste and we chase false dreams that leaves us bereft of the sweetness of Iman. Has anybody taken half an hour out to see how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the trees? That how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the birds and they come and land on the trees. How wonderful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made His creation. Has anyone made dua while looking at this? This is how we improve ourselves. Tafakkur, that we reflect on the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we invest no time on this ocean, but we're investing everything that's what's on this finger. Ibn Umar said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what's left of this dunya is what's left of the sun at the end of the tip of the big palm leaf. This is what's left, and you're taking it. And many of the shuyukh of the old have said that the smart person, the zaki, the intelligent, the one who is wise, will understand that this life, you cannot take too much of it. And the one who really has good understanding knows that this life will not last forever. And they will only take a few of the things, and they will work righteousness for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now how many people are ready, inshallah, to commit to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Takbir! That's weak. Takbir! Should be a militant leader. Oh, did I say that thing? I don't mean that. But anyway, I'll end with this, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ مَتَعُوا الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ فَطِيلًا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, مَتَعُوا الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ, that the enjoyment of this life is short. Because you see, you're happy 1 minute and then you're miserable then. And then something happens, pain, ache, you fall down, you're misery, your wife isn't wanting this, your children are lagging, you don't know what's going on. So there's some misery always involved. And the enjoyment is only little. And then he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the taqwa, the one who is taqi, that the akhirah is better. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be unjust. Fatila. Fatila is something that the Arabs, they have this date and this is a string between the dates, and you see the dates that come around it. It's that string, meaning you will not be dealt with unjustly. Now Yahya ibn Mu'adh, he said, the world is the wine of the devil. Whoever becomes intoxicated with it will only recover when death comes. At a point he regrets along with those who are losers. In my conclusion, that you need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you need to be a person who is indebted with gratitude, that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make sajda for more than 2 seconds. Be in sajda for 5 minutes, half an hour. Do it and see how it feels, how you will change your heart. Do 5 minutes and ask Allah. This is the best position that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah loves in sajda. So Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he said 9 things, and whoever acts upon them and observes their rights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will exalt his reward and raise his station to be amongst the most illustrious believers. Number one, to eat only what is permissible and healthy. Do that. Number two, do not accept any money save that which is blessed and lawful. Number three, do not let into your house anything except that which is beneficial and pleasing to Allah. And some of these TV programs are not pleasing to Allah. Don't let them in. Don't let an open sewage in your house. Number four, said, pray to Allah, bless these men, to provide your earnings one day at a time. Don't be in too much rush to amass 10 million pounds and things like this. I want to be a millionaire. It's okay, but be one that is giving also. And sometimes you might not be able to use those millions. You might think you're going to live 10 years, but you might only have 10 days to go. Number five, when you wake up in the morning, count yourself amongst the dead. For then, you are a step closer to joining them. This is Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. He said there is even mercy in the still plan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. So listen to it, brothers and sisters. And then he said, entrust in the guardianship to the sovereign hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for He is the best of protectors. Number seven, he said, should someone insult you, offend you, or aim to fight you, then walk away from him and do not avenge yourself. Let Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exonerate and defend you. Number 8. When you do something wrong, repent sincerely. Ibn Mas'ud said, sincere repentance is as though the milk does not go back to the udder. You don't go and do something and right away you have intention to do the wrong. That's not sincere repentance. And then he says, and immediately pray for Allah's forgiveness. And finally, number 9. And then when you do something right, thank Allah. Most exalted be His name for His guidance and countless favors. If you do something right, because there's one person who fell in the well, and Abu Darda رضي الله عنه was the same person who went to them and they were wanting to beat him. And he said, if this person fell into the well, would you not help him out? He said, yes, we would. And then he said, well, he has fallen, so bring him. So bring him out. And thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are not in that position. So I'll leave you with peace, inshallah. I didn't get to finish my topic, but that's my own fault. I always do that. Everywhere I go, I never get to finish. I think maybe once or twice in a lifetime I can do that. So inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you, and bless the brothers, and bless the sisters, and jazakumullah khair.
Takbir!
ClearIslam.com. If you would like to obtain more information about Clear Islam and our multimedia products, please visit our website at www.clearislam.com or contact us by email at info@clearislam.com. You can phone us locally at area code 902-454-4242 or toll free at 1-866-GO-ISLAM.